Hello.
Hi, Alex.
I sound surprised, don't I?
Yes, I turned the microphone on before you were ready.
How are you?
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
I am doing very well, thank you.
Yes, I see you have a glass of wine.
I do.
Doing quite well.
You have water. Cheers. Cheers to the listeners.
Yes, cheers to the listeners. So we're back.
And today, we're going to start... Did you set a timer?
I did not, but I can see the timer.
Okay. Now. So we're going to do 1 hour. How does 1 hour work for you? Okay. We're going to do the first hour in taking down romance. We may do such a good job that 1 hour is all it takes. Or...
Possibly.
It might be longer.
Possibly.
Now, romance, we have to say at the beginning, does not just pertain to women.
Yes. Yeah, so
there is female romance and there is male romance.
Yes. So boys and girls, get your tissues or handkerchiefs and...
yeah, not that kind of male romance.
No.
Right, so... Where do we start?
Where do we start?
This is such a complex issue.
Huge.
Such a... In fact, we're beginning to think that this is... Everything revolves around this. So then the job is to get that across to listeners. Oh, okay, one thing I wanted to say first off. I just had this feeling about this.
Go ahead.
A sort of a caveat or something to say that this information, which I believe is so vital, so cutting edge,
okay,
for want of a better term, this information belongs to people who want to live, to want to change.
Right.
This is not something... Because I think we're being milked all the time.
Right.
As I've talked about a bit in previous articles, especially the Mail.
Right.
So this information is not for or to be used by what Matt Deleuze would call the serpent cult.
Mm.
Okay? This information is for... human beings who are under the spell of the serpent cult and want to live.
Right.
So, and I feel like there is some kind of rule that says, you know, if we don't claim something, then they can claim it.
Right. True.
So, I claim this, no matter... I claim this information, we claim this information, and we say it is only for use, may only sort of legally, whatever... be used by people who want to live,
right,
who want to be free of this,
yes,
the spell that we're under.
Claim it by universal law, that it's available to,
yeah,
those. Yes.
Yeah, not quite sure how it all works, but that's what we're saying, and that's how it is.
Yeah.
So, where to start, because there are so many avenues into this. I was talking to Michael today. I've had this idea that, I'm sure others have had it too, that these times that we're in,
mm-hmm,
I think I remember reading years ago, like some kind of great big cosmic wave is coming through. We've talked about a bit about this. So have played with the idea that this big cosmic wave has come through and then the bringing, the potential for great change. Oh, Michael, you talk about like undoing seals.
Right, right. Well, the reaching back into not necessarily religion, but into ancient texts, where you could look at some of the ancient texts that they talk about. Oh, this seal is, when the seal is removed, there'll be a loud blowing of trumpets, blah 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 blah. Whereas, to me, what if you're doing the inner work, and if you're doing inner work like in a relationship, the male-female relationship, you're doing inner work, and rather than going to the default, which most men and women tend to do, if you're doing the inner work, that you possibly could come to a point where you remove your own seal.
Right.
Not. It could be that we're also in times, in certain times right now, where that's possible.
That's what I... That's where I feel is happening, where... And always working with, like, the best we've got to go on. But let's say this big wave of cosmic energy or whatever,
mm-hmm,
came through, and its job was to remove the seals. However, things are never that easy, are they? They
no.
just we know we're under something pretty tricky here. So, a theory that I've had is that what we call it, what Matt Deleuze calls the serpent cult, or we might say Lucifer, or
yes.
whatever.
Yes.
It's just a name. Doesn't matter. It's so tricky that as this change or seal removing or whatever comes through, there has been set up something to catch at each stage. So, for instance, a seal comes off for health, you know. There has been some kind of a seal put upon us where disease is just rampant.
Mm.
That seal is removed and now health can spring forth. But hey, as that seal comes off, look what's presented to you. We have the new health cult, suddenly there's organic food, there's spray-free food, there's every kind of conceivable, there's the supplements, there's all your, there's the gluten-free, there's all this knowledge, there's all the people out there who can help you in so many different ways
right.
to, you know, the whole well-being kind of people,
right.
not knocking them, we're trying to get a bigger picture here. But it's all there for us. Now, Michael, we've had this kind of discussion where when we look at this stuff, what it looks like is going back to that kind of, it's all like Gnosticism, New Agey, all that feel. There's such a feel to it.
Yeah.
If you step back, if you can just step back far enough and look back, you go, fuck, this is also... guru-ishy, for want of a better word. There's this guru feel to it.
Mm.
And nice, sparkly, clean, kind of almost Disney-ish feel of, you know, like cartoon and stylized, but great effects. And it's not ho-hum, as we've talked about.
Mm.
It's got extra, there's some music playing in the background,
right.
and there's happy little animals singing songs and happy little clouds
yeah.
or whatever. But there's little happy bluebirds singing, etc.
Right.
So when I say Disney, like almost animated kind of simplistic feel to it. Oh, fuck. Where was I going? Right, the wave. Okay, so this idea that as this wave came through, seals coming off, whatever.
Right.
Each time as people start to wake up and go, oh, you know, remove another shackle, and so you wake up and the illness seal has been removed. And you say, oh, I feel like I'm gonna get into, you know, I'm gonna start eating healthy, and look, here's the organic movement, or I want to get into fitness. Oh, I'm going to buy a bicycle and, you know, become a mobile temple with all the stuff. I have to wear the proper clothes, of course, but it's already here for me. Or I'm going to get into fitness. Hey, there's 6 million gyms around the place, and I'm going to do that. Or so as you wake up to health, as you wake up from the sleep of, say, illness or lack, whatever, presented before you is, oh, it's already here. All these different temples are here. I shall go and worship in the cycling temple, or the gym temple, or the organic temple. Or so each time, this how I play with it is that this serpent cult, Lucifer, whatever name you want to call it, has prepared something that's very, very similar and fits pretty damn well. So, hey, why not just slip right in and go down this road that's just awesome? So, and this road seems to be one of many roads that are actually leading and what's that word when they go to come together? Condensing into or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
Into one big road, one very big road, gloop, circle, and that's called unity,
mm-hmm.
from what I can see.
Right.
And so, kind of like the thesis behind today's talk, want of a better word, the true unity, the seals coming off, the biggest seal to be removed, the biggest one that's meant to be happening, is where male and female come together. That sort of unity. Not to become one hermaphrodite, one big butch hermaphrodite, or whatever.
No.
But to return to where they can see each other and hear each other, a bridge is built between them that doesn't keep getting blown up.
Right.
So that's kind of what's behind this podcast and the need to take down or at least expose or look at or whatever, the romance.
Right.
Because it is the romance which I guess has been like a seal. We could say it's been like a seal holding things in place. Right. Problem is that as this romance seal releases, what it looks to me like is people are being caught in a ready-made unity. Hey, yeah, I feel like I want to unite, join, connect with, and here, join with this new unified world.
Right.
And in this unified world, I have to say, more and more, that the split between male and female is actually bigger than ever before.
Yeah, it's bigger. It's like you were saying, of course, we've talked about this before, too. My feel, and this is just me putting this on the table here, is my feel. As they divided the male and females, the division of the fake feminist power coming up, scaring the men, like, oh, we don't need you men, blah, 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 like the angry, I said Hollywood version.
Right.
The angry feminine.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the men going, oh, fuck, they're all mad, it's bad enough, we don't talk, and yada, yada, and now we got, and then we, they're all, you can't communicate hardly at all right now, but then you've got an angry female to deal with, which is men won't do it. They won't do it.
Right.
So, excuse me, I've got a cold, so bear with me as I cough through this podcast. So they're afraid already, and then they get to a point where they, like, we saw some other guys had posted elsewhere, it's like this male movement says, fine, we'll just go off into the wilderness, we don't need women, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So they're, like you said, the separation's actually getting bigger.
Mm-hmm.
Those that fall off of it, though, get caught into that unity net.
Right.
So they think, okay, well, fine, I don't need a man, or I don't need a woman, and then they fall into the unity net seems to be more about making work the most important thing, and work will be
the
family.
As you say that, there's also that what we've seen come in for quite a while now is girls with girls, boys with boys.
Yeah.
You know, and that separation where the girls get together.
Yeah.
I mean, how many movies have you seen where the girls are all together? There may even be a romance going on. There may be like one of them's getting married or something.
Mm.
You see the guy for about 5 seconds in the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
All the rest is all about the women, you know, there's so many different sisterhoody type things coming out, you know, and then, yeah, the men and all the boys clubs and all the boys movies and all the, there's a lot of them too. Even if they're getting married, you know, like the honeymoon one or, I can't remember what it was called, what do you call it, stag party or something type thing.
Right, and that made me more geared towards the Gen X and older groups.
Right.
But what I was seeing before I left the Dionysus cult, United States, was the generation behind me were being so pushed, mashed in together, like the girl would be more like one of the guys, and the guys would just share the girl, so to speak. Like they had this big group of friends that they're constantly out, but nobody's really with anyone,
right,
relationship-wise. Well, this girl's with this guy this week, but the following week she's... But they're all mates.
Mm-hmm.
They're all friends. You know, nobody...
Right.
And it just goes round and round and round in a bigger group, bigger hanging out. Let's all go hang out. We got the social media. It seems like they're targeting the group, the generation in the United States with what I was seeing. Was like, oh, nobody's really wanting to be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it's not all of them. I'm talking like a big group here, like a certain age group, but then and then you've got you've got the other ones that are trying to do what their parents did. Anyways, just an example of what I was seeing before leaving the U.S. Once you're outside of the United States, it's easier to see. Harder to see once you're in it.
Right.
But yeah, like you're I'm sorry if I got a little off topic.
No.
It just made me think that, yeah, like certain age groups they have, like it feels to me.
That makes sense. Yeah, each generation has been catered for
a certain theme or something.
Yeah, the romance. And yet, it's interesting to see that they still bring it, like, for instance, Disney. Disney's still doing its stuff as it winds its way through all the generations, you know?
Mm.
It may have a different bit here and there, but the underlying... So Disney is a great, actually, example of the underlying program of romance, which is what it is.
Right.
You start them in young with the children, with the girls.
Mm-hmm.
That is a lot of that's romance for the girls.
Yeah, the fairy tales. You told me so much about fairy tales.
Yes. But it is the programming. So I'm just trying to think about... where we need to be heading. Again, this is so huge, and yet it's so simple. The more you step back,
go ahead.
I've lost it. Go on.
This is going to reiterate from
prior
podcasts that boys have been separated. Boys were separated at a young age. We had brought this up a few times.
Right.
Just to reinforce it. Boys are brought up and separated from the female or their mother, generally, at 5.
Mm-hmm.
Forced into situations where, in my opinion, it probably would have been more ideal for the boy to be with the mother till 8, 9 years old.
And what would that... What do you think that would have given them? Wouldn't that make them into, like, mummy's boys and weak and kind of, like, clingy and
No. It would have given them deeper understanding, better communication skills, of which the female provides.
Right. Okay, so that's an interesting point, that communication, which is so... That's definitely a point we've got to go into. So sorely, sadly lacking in the male, and so devastating to relationships, actually. Right. Okay, so yes, go on.
Well, cutting the boys off like that, it's just like a shock and trauma, etc. Then you've got no, you're not learning from the mother about how to communicate. We weren't there. I can't say how it is because I'm one of the males that were separated, obviously. You get thrown in school, your way. This is just my theory.
Okay, so if I come in and say, how do you think your life would have been different? Like, what would it have given you? Or what did you miss? Can you remember what you were missing or really calling for or wanting? Or?
That's a really good question. I know that most guys at that age, 5 years old, and they're scared, terrified, or whatnot, say, I want my mommy. They never say, I want my daddy.
Right.
Hardly ever. Maybe you'll get 1 out of 100, 1 out of 1,000. Usually, I want my mommy.
And why? Why? Why do they want her?
Well, the mother provides the comfort, the security, the protection. They know they're safe there.
Okay, so I listen to that, and I guess I'm feeling like there is, is it almost a sense of like a shutdown, like a universal, including the female, shutdown on the male at that time when they're going to school, of like, they should be able to cope with this. They should be.
Yeah.
Well, no, we don't know that.
Okay.
So we would expect that suddenly little boys are brave and ready to go to battle.
Right.
Into battle at 5 years old.
Well, everybody, I think, looks at it as, oh, they're ready to go play.
Right.
I think that we shut down that part that was supposed to be remain on for longer with the mother to, you know, the connection. And I don't know.
Okay,
we shut it down and we focus on the play. We, jump right into the play.
Okay, so if I'm hearing you correctly, kind of what you're saying there was, you would both, yes, want to go and play new, say, schoolmates.
Right.
And you still need the connection,
mm-hmm.
that before school connection, that strong connection,
mm-hmm.
with the female, because she is what? Because what are you getting? Because what is it that you need at that age? What is it that you still need? Or I know, of course.
You're trying to pull it out of me. I'm not sure I can give you the correct answer.
There is no correct answer. Could you give me a feel, or do you have any memories, or... Because we're all blind here. We're all blind.
Right. Memories, I'm not so sure about. All I know is, a lot of times I didn't want to be there. I just wanted to be home with my mom.
Would you have been spending all your time with your mom at home?
I don't know. Probably not. Probably more of a 70-30 type thing. Maybe spend 70-10% of your time with her.
So you simply wanted to be her presence, to be around somewhere a lot of the time?
That would be a good place to start, yeah.
Right. That just somehow comforting or safe, or perhaps?
You
was it like
at that
then,
age,
or?
You're still learning. You're still looking to your... I think... At that age, you're still learning, you're still looking to...
Okay, you give me an idea. Because there am I. I'm trying to push it into understanding because, hey, mom is nourishing or nurturing or comforting.
Right.
And then I'm thinking, hang on a minute. Duh, so to speak. The more I understand of women, like, and their real role, it's a role of great strength. It is outside of hierarchy.
Right.
So there's no pushing in on, and there is a, what I feel like, when a woman is switched on, and now I have to say that most of them are not, but she is like, I think of like a mountain. She is so solid.
Mm.
And so I'm wondering if, what you're after at that young age, what you're still needing, is that sense of solidity.
Right.
Because you are going to be chucked out into a world that is so...
hierarchical.
Unrelenting, hierarchical, demanding. And then you have this solidity. Not like Dad, like you say, you're not looking for Dad. Because
yeah.
You know Dad is up and down, up and down.
Right.
As in previous podcasts and things.
Yeah.
Not around. Sometimes he's there. Sometimes he's... Even if he's there, he's not there.
Right.
He doesn't have that solidity and stability that the female just has. She does have. You know, even the females you don't like actually have a solidity to them that's just like, fuck, I wish you'd go away and you're still here sort of thing, you know? That there's a solidity to the female.
Right.
So maybe you're, at 5 years old or whatever, you're just switched on senses. No, I need more of the solidity because I'm going to take this solidity and use it in my life as a man.
Right.
It's going to be very hard to grow up and be a man and be wispy and sort of floaty and in and out.
Right.
Because... I was supposed to pull in her solidness.
Yeah, her solidness and her ability to communicate. The subtleties, like the body language, the, you know, how women have the 7 degrees or 10 degrees of communication, whereas the men have one.
Right.
Or, you know, the verbal language skills of women are like 3 times higher than men.
Mm-hmm.
When we get shut off at that early age, again, like I was... postulating is shock and abandonment,
right?
Turn and focus completely on immersing yourself with the play at the school,
right?
And then you end up with having to shut off you shut yourself off to the what you really could have used was the female solidity, the communication, and all that,
right?
And we see the children. In my opinion, just my opinion,
mm-hmm.
the boys, and I'm not saying that, like you had said in the beginning, hanging out with mom would make, turn, you know, till 8, 9 years old would turn people into mommy's boys. What I'm saying is, like, if they shut down to that and they totally focus, like, a lot of the kids in kindergarten when I was in were too rough. A lot of the boys, too rough.
Right.
The teachers are always at it. You're too rough. You can't do that.
Right.
Hurting other kids, this, that, and the other thing. And it could be a result of the having to shut off.
Right.
And then completely focus on this. So then you've got behavior that's coming out differently.
Right.
Like, you're hurting, or you're taking the toy away from the other one, or you're making the other one cry, which may not, if the male was allowed to stay home with the female.
Right.
Till a certain age, they would have learned to communicate better.
Right.
They would have learned to negotiate or share better.
Right.
They would have learned, well, hold on, I don't want to be above you, and I don't want you below me.
Right.
I think that actually jump starts the hierarchical...
Yeah.
You know, way of looking at things and boys being too rough or, like, doing things subconsciously as an act of,
mm-hmm.
like, I'm going to take this toy, you know, and
right.
they don't know why they did it. It's
right.
really a reaction to, I should be home right now cuddling with mom on the sofa. She could be reading to me. But no, I'm here. This boy, you know, all these boys have got toys, overstimulated, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. I'm not a psychiatrist, but
right.
it seems like that is a possibility.
Right. I think that's it's a great point. And it's funny when you look at the, you know, sometimes it just takes something really simple and basic and it blows everything away. So there is this whole thing that says that if a boy is with his mother,
mm.
he's going to turn into a sissy.
Mm.
And not only, and we have the movies to reinforce that.
Mm-hmm.
You have movies like Psycho, where the mother has been,
mm.
and he's just, you know, turned completely crazed. And because this is what happens, if a boy is with his mother too long, he's going to turn into either an absolute wuss or a wimp or a psychotic killer or something.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he's ever going to be normal or
right.
he's fucked.
Right.
He's completely fucked. Now, if we take the two elements there that we've mentioned, one is the solidity of the female, solidness, and the communication. I'm going to come in and say, how is it possible that being with something really solid that has a great ability to communicate is going to turn, you know, 1 + 1 = psychotic killer, turn a small boy into this? It actually just simply doesn't make sense. It doesn't
no.
make sense.
No. I'm sure there's probably a healthy age cutoff point, too, that you're supposed to...
I think, again, with that, the mountainous thing is that a healthy woman, and we're going to have to dive into this because women have been absolutely manipulated, okay?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
We're not saying, and I'm not saying that women are great and men are fucked, anything like that, because women are fucked as well. But they weren't meant to be.
No.
Simply the child just starts to move away. Look in nature. The animals, the very protective, extremely solid mother presence.
Mm.
And then they start getting bigger and going off. She's pushing them out. She's off you go. My sense in that case would be that the mother would go, she would actually see when the child, just a little bit before he's ready, and she'd go, off you go. Off you go.
Mm.
So that he would actually be having to test his feet and being a little bit wonky at first, but she
right.
would know he's ready for this.
Right. And with a healthy woman, they probably would know, oh, okay, you're ready to go.
Yeah.
They would just know.
Yeah.
May even have been just a little bit more. It may have been 6 years old, 7 years old.
Right.
I don't know.
It would probably be individual to the child. It'd be very individual to the
that
child.
That could be as well, too.
And there'd be such a sensing of, oh, okay, he's ready. I remember when my son was growing up, I would notice, oh, okay, he's now reached this stage.
Right.
And, oh, he's now reached this stage.
Mm.
And I didn't feel a loss.
Right.
I might be a little bit like, oh, wow, okay, he's ready for this now. Oh, wow. And I would know, okay, step back. step back.
Right.
Next stage, step back.
Right.
It didn't hurt.
Right.
And you know what? And here I think, each time he reached a stage and I would do the step back, I would have this more free time, free space in my life, and I would be naturally stepping into,
right.
which included this whole blog, stepping into this one, stepping in and sort of reclaiming my life or stepping into this.
Mm.
And we just stepped accordingly.
Right. The solidity and the communication, the child would have been, or could have been, I'll just postulate again, more assured of themselves, have a better feel of themselves.
Right.
They would have learned that all important skill that most men are lacking. And I'm not talking about communication in the business world, how they teach you to talk in school. So it's all structure based. It's not going to do you any good in a relationship. So all those Donald Trump fans out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he knows exactly how to talk to a woman.
Yeah, he definitely was kicked out before 5 years old.
Yeah. It would have learned how to communicate better. Not better. I guess a poor choice of words there. Could have learned how to communicate.
Yeah.
Whereas, like I said, I want to get to that before we dive into romance here. Yeah. I'm getting warmed up.
It's all part of it.
The communication skills of the male, we may be able to see some things with body language, and we think we pick up things during conversation. However, the way we've been steered is through the shock and abandonment and the trauma,
right.
is we have to fix things. Your logical brain kicks in, and you want to logic everything and solve it and figure it out, and I've got the answer. Hold on. You know, I've got the answer like some people. Always seem to have an answer. And we don't really learn how to listen, which I think is probably going to be the first thing guys need to learn. Before they can even tackle communicating, they have to learn how to listen.
It's such a wide thing. You know, so as you're talking there, my feel is to go towards the castle. The castle imagery, which...
Right.
So if we say, in an awful lot of fairy stories, or say, for instance, Sleeping Beauty, she's asleep in a castle, all the thorns have grown up around the castle. Of course, that's one version. Okay, let's play it out. So that's one version. The other version is, for actually quite a lot of fairy stories, is the prince is in the castle, he comes out, and she is Cinderella. She's... you know, cleaning toilets and sweeping floors and washing dishes and,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of other ones where generally she's having a poor life. What I just want to come in with is this sense that I've got. Now, I could not have reached the understanding I have reached without Michael's help. He had not been willing to engage, and I acknowledge how hard it is. Seeing how hard it is for him, who is willing, gives me some idea of how almost impossible it would be for most men. And, you know, there's a choice here. There's a choice that has to be made. It may be the most important choice that you make. And nobody else can make it for you. All we can do is to share as much as we have found. We daily work on this.
Mm.
Okay? We don't stop. Michael doesn't really have a choice in the matter as he smiles.
We podcast daily in the
we
car,
don't.
At breakfast,
yeah.
after work. We had thought about leaving a recording device on, but...
So, what I have felt strongly is that men live in castles. They live in a castle, big castle, and most of the time, or a lot of the time, the doors are firmly shut. Sometimes they open. And so just try to be patient, because this is trying to build a three-dimensional picture here. Not a two-dimensional, not a fairy story, a three-dimensional. So there's so many different layers. And if you put the layers together, you can get a three-dimensional picture of the structure that we're in, the one that's at play, the one that keeps holding us here, the one that if we see it, as the seal comes off, we won't fall into a ready prepared solution or state prepared by Serpent Cult Lucifer, whatever. You will step back, look at it, go, holy fuck. And then when you see the one that's been prepared, you'll go, well, that's bullshit. That's bullshit. Mm. I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's on offer here. That's what's being gifted here to those that we have said we are gifting to. You take or leave it. It's a gift. So what I'm getting, and I, you know, Michael knows, I never stop working. I'm always, when I feel something that doesn't feel right, I'm onto it, I'm studying it. So what I have felt is men in castles. So not the girl, not a girl, not Sleeping Beauty imprisoned in a castle.
Or Rapunzel.
Rapunzel, great one. Rapunzel is stuck, locked in a, well, she's more in a tower.
Yeah.
But that works too. Sleeping Beauty, asleep in a castle.
Right.
What I have seen is the male locked in a castle, asleep in a castle. It's all round the wrong way, okay? Everything is round the wrong way, and then not only round the wrong way, but flipped. In actual fact, I believe how it's meant to be is the female in the castle, running the castle, just keeping it going, keeping it alive. Everything's flowing and smooth. What's happened is that somehow the male got flipped over into the castle, doors locked. What happens at five-year-olds is just the small example of something much deeper, much bigger. We go back to Garden of Eden. We go back to whatever.
Right.
But he was flipped over, isolated, stuck in a castle. He's stuck in a place that he can be safe, and he is a prisoner. Now, again, what I'm bringing in here, again, just try and bear with me, is this whole, from another article I wrote, which I can't remember the name of it at the moment, but about how the male is being harvested, okay? This world is not about the female, it's about the male. It's about the male cock. It's about harvesting that energy, that sexual energy. Men have been given the idea that they are free, powerful, that they run this world. They're in charge. You know, the Bible says, hey, you have dominion over it. So, hey, the man has dominion over it. Why would you question? But if you step back, and I'm talking about really serious study here, I have put everything into seeing this, then no, the man is imprisoned in a castle. He is your Sleeping Beauty. He is your Rapunzel. Of course, he could never ever see that. He is being harvested. His sexual energy is being harvested. There's so many more podcasts and articles to come on this, so
right.
There's only so much we can do.
Right. Well,
go on.
Well, I was just going to say, like you were saying, the male's trapped inside, literally himself. No ability to communicate, so the castle doors are closed.
Right.
That, again, could be the result of the cutting off the child at five.
Now, you're not being forced to say this. You've got this through all the conversation. You got it, didn't you? You felt it. I haven't forced it upon you, subdued you, you're not under my thumb.
No. No, this is all from the inner work we've been doing
right.
together. I can see where I've fallen backwards in the past on not being able to communicate, and it's not like a communication is like a... so people are going to... their interpretation of communication is going to be backwards or whatever's structure-based. We're not talking about like flowery words or the version of romance that we're about ready to take
down.
No,
it's very, very simple. It's,
yeah, it's
very,
very
simple.
Ho-hum. Very simple. It's supposed to be about building a bridge, but like we were saying, the male has been closed up in the castle.
That, of the whole building of bridges is just a whole, it's almost a podcast
right.
itself.
But the guy is walled up. The communication skills diminished to like a third of what the woman, or a female, proper female, turned on, activated female has. So we have that to begin with. We have our internal fire to deal with, which we talked about in another podcast.
Eternal fire.
Eternal fire. Internal and eternal fire, which is that energy you're talking about, the sexual energy being harvested by this world. So we have that inside us going on as well. It's so huge that I feel like we're.
Yeah, it's very, very. This is where we're at, where we.
Yes.
We have grasped this to a very strong degree at the same time. The difficulty is, okay, when you know something inside yourself, you know, like you know the flavor of a nectarine.
Right.
But fuck, how do you communicate that to someone else?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And
so this is where we are at. So if we go, maybe we, okay, let's focus on this castle scenario. Best thing we can do is try to give examples, because if you get the example or story and you start to get, okay, I reckon I know what you're talking about. So this ties in with the, how do I do it? Okay. All my life I have felt, doesn't matter what man it is, doesn't matter. They come and they go and they come and they go. In the sense of they're there, then they're not, even if they're in the room with you, they're not there anymore. I cited the Shakespearean one foot on sea and one foot on shore to one thing constant never. So they come and they go. If for a man who's maybe thinking, what the fuck are you talking about? If I say, if you're with someone, you're in a room with someone, say your son or a friend, and they're on the internet, and you know they're gone. They're not, even though they're in the room, they're no longer with you anymore. They have gone. They're almost gone inside the screen, or they're inside the game that they're playing or whatever.
Mm.
They're no longer there. So this is the kind of thing I'm talking about, except that men just do this throughout the day. And I think a lot of the time they have no idea that they do this.
Mm-hmm.
What we have been working on is understanding, why do they do that? Why do they need to disappear? What happens?
Right.
You know, at the end of the day, all we're really after here is a way, like say Michael and me, how do we keep communicating? How do we keep the relationship going?
Mm.
What does it require? So it doesn't require that we answer every single thing. It doesn't require that we know why everything is the way it is.
Right.
What it requires is that when something happens, when a lump, as we call it, is formed, how do we clear this? Because it's getting in the way.
Right.
Which
doesn't consist of, if I may, yelling, shouting, screaming, throwing things, disappearing to a man cave, stomping out of the room, slamming doors, any of that stuff.
Right.
None of that works.
Right. So, okay, so you bringing in that makes me think about, oh, it's hard. With a woman, on the whole, okay? And there are absolute cows out there, so please, I am not. But a general, the way it's meant to work, we build bridges. This is the best way I can say it. We build bridges. We're constantly building bridges. Bridges, you don't just build a bridge and it's there forever. Okay? You build a bridge and it's there. As long as it's working, the bridge is there. If I bring this into male-female, you're in a relationship. The best way I can describe it is that men break bridges. They don't, I'm not saying that they mean to.
Right.
But I think what happens is that when build a bridge, men get overwhelmed easily,
mm-hmm.
which I think is why they have this castle and they keep the doors closed so often, because they're too easily overwhelmed. And that's something else also I want to go into, because we have, I think, a fairly good understanding of why they get overwhelmed.
Right.
But just for now, to go with the bridges, we work to keep a bridge and we use communication. It's laughed at, you know, oh, women talk so much. Actually, the talking is very often, it's a bridge, building a bridge. We're building a bridge across you. And oftentimes with men, we know there's something shaky about them. And the bridge can be like a lifeline, meant to be a lifeline. You can use this lifeline. We know something's a bit shaky with you.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's taught them that. So they will get overwhelmed,
right?
And they will cut the bridge. They will break the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
They'll break the bridge. Generally, it's not a big thing. It's just a sudden, say a conversation is going on, or a woman's talking about something, and suddenly he will be talking about something else completely. Go, oh, look over there. He's no longer there. He's moved away, and that connection is broken. The bridge collapses down. We've had talks about this, you know,
right.
about how a man gets overwhelmed
right.
quite easily because he's got a lot going on in him.
Right.
So what we've been working at is in our communication is what I need to understand how things are for Michael. And the only way that I've done that is I ask him questions. And he answers, because we both have this willingness.
Right.
We talk about, we say this goes back to Cave of Treasures. This goes back to when male and female were deliberately separated.
Yes.
And what we're working on is a deliberate reconnection.
Right.
Deliberate.
Yeah, we may never find out how, who, you know, when. We don't need to. If we can come up with a good enough
right.
way, exactly like you said.
It's a good enough. And there's the willingness. First and foremost is the willingness. And then there's the recognition, like, wow, your world is so different to mine. You
right.
communicate in such a different way to me.
Right.
I don't know your language. Your language doesn't make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So then I have to be willing, do the work to learn your language and you learn mine. Good enough that we can communicate.
Sorry.
So, a very useful thing, so you can get started. We use the table theory. What's that?
Table theory.
Right, what was that one? Oh, yeah. Hey, Clarky. so what I presume most women are this way in the way we work. We put things, for want of a better word, on a table. Come up with varieties of different things. I'll speak for myself. So I find it exciting to come up with ideas. And what I say is I'm putting them on the table.
Right. So it's a metaphor. Right.
It's a metaphor. Like, here's an idea and here's an idea. And like, oh, I just had this great idea. What if we did this? And that's what it is. It's Michael's mother is an amazing cook, fantastic cook. She makes a zillion different types of things and puts them on the table, you know? You can't possibly eat them all.
Right.
But you can go and choose what you would like to eat. So with women, it's like that. When we say, with me, I've been not speaking for all the women, but I think other women will get it. What I'm saying is I'm excited about possibilities and I put them on the table. I'm not saying, oh, this needs to be done. I need you to do this. I need you to do this. Go and do this. It's like I'm putting them on the table. And then what I really need from Michael is if he just puts his stuff on the table, and then between the two of us, we come up with, we choose. We'll have some of this and some of this and and leave the rest.
Right.
But for you, for quite a long time, if I'm saying things, you felt overwhelmed and like...
Yeah, like you were saying, oh, okay, this is, I want this, I want this, I want you to do this, I want you to do this, and be like, oh, this is my day.
Right. Right, and then you would have to disconnect, and you would have to break the bridge, not deliberately, not even recognizing it.
Right.
Very, very hard to recognize what's happening with bridge breaking, but that's what's on offer here. Once you see it, once you start to get it, you get it. It doesn't take too long to start to see and for a man to notice when he does it. Again, I want to say here, if you're in a relationship, if you love your wife, your girlfriend, you need to hear this. I would say that pretty much all problems in relationships, I'll go out on a limb here and say it, stem because the man breaks the bridge. It's never seen. It just looks like the woman is going into, oh God, there she goes again, or something. You know, she's got her period. There's some reason to explain why she's really weird now. But if we go back to the beginning, there is something about women, on the whole, they are solid. They are solid. And they communicate.
Well,
when you whip out the bridge and break the communication, there's a spiral effect that goes on. Their job is to be solid and build bridges.
Right.
I'm sorry, what did you want
to say? No. I didn't want to interrupt. I didn't want to break that bridge. What you just reminded me of is how everything in this world is back to front.
Right.
We're going to find out. The men would be, okay, this is the man's world, okay? You're supposedly solid. You're the hero. You're the one that's going to go rescue the maiden. You're the one that never gets tired. You're the one that can handle the 12-hour work day. You're the one that puts the bread on the table and provides for the family, etc., etc.
Right.
You're supposed to be the rock of Gibraltar. You're supposed to be solid. Nobody is going to see you, how tired or exhausted you are, which I've gotten to that point, or how much you hate your job, or you would rather be on a beach somewhere surfing.
You know, I have tested your... Because Michael, not first and foremost, but on his top lists of hates would be work. He is not made for working. So it's funny, you know, so you'd rather be like sleeping or lying in the sun or whatever. So I have put this to other men, like guys I work with.
Yeah.
Well, they all agreed. They all just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, so here we have this thing of the man being out working and what we, so, to approach that, it's like, it makes sense. If you are, you have your sexual energy, which we've looked at, it rises and it falls, and it rises and it falls.
Throughout the day, yeah.
Throughout the day, it's running you.
Mm.
So how is it that you are so super strong when you have this energy that's up and then it's down, it's up and then it's down? If we look at, I talked about when they try to say with a female, she has the menstrual cycle. Well, that's a whole month.
Right.
But with a man whose energy, depending on, you know, is rising and falling, it could be up to, you know, every 3 to 4 hours.
Yeah, with me it is.
Right.
Every 3 to 4
then
hours.
At, where's your steady rockness? You know, where is it?
Yeah.
How can it be there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I think that's what has brought in a lot of things like coffee, energy drinks.
Right.
All geared towards the man.
Right.
To get you back on that artificial.
Right.
Here you go. Here you go. Here's some energy so you can keep going. Because
right.
You're usually on the downslide. And I know what the downslide feels like. But when you've got this sexual burst and it's like 11:30, 12 o'clock at work. And you're like, oh, shit. You know, and then you're on the downslide after the...
Okay, give us some more information. I mean, obviously not too much, but what does it feel like in your body?
Like you're charged and ready to go, and you're just like, oh man, I'd really love to be doing this.
Right. So you're all charged up like... because, you see, the thing is, for the women who listen, this is all so foreign. All we know is that men are obsessed by sex. That's it. That's all we know.
This
and
is
going to
be
have yeah. no grasp of... it's almost like sex beast kind of just don't get it, just like... And this reality that we see, the bits that we see, is so against the romance of the Prince Charming, who's so attentive.
Right.
Instead, we've got this kind of like pulsating, sex-obsessed, he's here one minute, he's gone the next, he's everything that supposedly we are, you know, we're supposedly so, you know, all over the place and hysterical and whatever. But look closer and you say, no, it's not us.
Right.
And there's something strange here.
Right. This podcast may actually be four or five.
Michael's just
parts.
Held up his hand to tell me 5 minutes. We've got 5 minutes left. So pay attention. This is the last 5 minutes. Then we have to go and eat and make dinner and do things. So, come on. Give it to us. Make it good.
What am I giving?
So we've just been talking about this male sexual energy that...
Yeah, in 5 minutes, I don't know if I can sum it up.
You don't have to. Just...
a healthy male.
Yeah.
And we may have touched on it before. New listeners, a healthy male is going to be, to me, you're going to have peaks throughout the day of sexual energy.
Peaks, that's interesting. Again, we wouldn't even think of peaks.
Well, it builds up. So
right?
It's like we're like some sort of a, and I'll explain this in another podcast, but I'm just going to simplify it this time.
Yep.
It's like we're some sort of a capacitor, is it capacitor or something that charges up.
Okay.
It charges up, it builds up to a certain level, and it's ready to go.
Right.
If it doesn't go, it starts to lose its charge. I call that the deterioration cycle
that
you're downslope.
Okay, so hold on a minute. Oh, sorry, because I think this is so important.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't go, if it doesn't release, it's more than just a... Because people won't get otherwise. You mean it just winds down. But from what you tell me, it's not just a nice little wind down, is it?
It's not a wind down. It feels like a deterioration, like something's dying.
So that matters. It feels like something is dying.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Right. But there's a lot more to this before like women go, it's just an explanation to get more sex or whatever. No, we're going to get into this in another podcast, the explanation behind all of this. And then these other guys that have come in before and say, in mysticism, they teach you to harness your sexual energy and use it for this, that, and the other thing. Well, we're not all living on mountaintops with shaved heads and sitting in a room all day going, We're living in the Western society. So, simplification is we have peaks throughout the day. A healthy male.
Right.
Unhealthy male will go and substitute... which I've seen, and I've done it before too.
Right.
They've come out with the energy drinks for your downslide.
Right.
Like when you're deteriorating from that, here, have an energy drink that's going to get you back up there. Have a coffee. I see people at work drink 7 to 10 cups of coffee a day in an 8-hour shift and go, holy shit, they're not dead yet. And things like that. It's artificial stimulants. And then you'll have the other guys that go for the booze or the drugs or whatnot. To either mellow out from it or try to escape it, an artificial escape.
So please let me come in because it's so exciting in a sense to have this kind of information. Because what I hear you saying, and that we've had so many talks already, but just even right now as I'm listening to you, this sexual energy sounds so alive.
Right.
It sounds like it's something that comes to life and then if you don't use it, it dies. It starts to die.
Mm-hmm.
When I, female point of view, again, you are obsessed with sex.
Right.
You're just obsessed with getting your own pleasure.
Right.
What else? Using the female often to just so that you can have an orgasm, just so that you can feel better.
Right.
And it's all about you.
And that's how it's been engineered.
Right.
To look like that. You're absolutely right. It does. It's going to look like that. Every male. I mean, I'm sure I was the same way years ago, 20 years ago, 15 years ago, 10 years ago. This is, I mean, I always had an inkling there was something wrong, that the connection was being missed.
Right.
During sex, or that sex was more than what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, the women are gonna the women, because the men have been so simplistically simplified and, like you say, they're being harvested like milk and cows.
Yeah,
their
energy. Yeah, that's what I feel.
Because
I see them.
We're still at the perpetual 5-year-old state.
Right. I think that's deliberate. I feel like you are being harvested. But I think, this is what I want to leave for the women. I don't know how the men will take it.
Please do.
For a woman to listen.
Yeah.
Because of how we are.
Yeah.
If you're telling us that something is living,
mm-hmm.
and then it's dying.
Mm-hmm.
For us who are about bringing life into the world,
mm-hmm.
to hear that,
mm-hmm.
it's the beginning of a massive shift. And I know I'm having to work with undoing so much stuff.
Right.
But to hear, if a man says that something is alive in him and
mm-hmm.
rising,
mm-hmm.
and then it starts to die,
right.
it's like, oh my God, what is I need to know more. I need to know about this.
Right. Which we're going to get to. We will get to in the next podcast.
Yeah. So.
And to leave, which is a little bit of, for, like you said, you don't know how the guy's going to take it. I'll leave a little.
Yes, please do.
My theory teaser, maybe get people thinking. I think I just lost it, but I'll try to get back.
Oh.
That's all right.
I know what that feels like. A little teaser for men.
Yes.
Got it?
I think so.
Okay.
Not exactly sure. About that whole method, how it's been set up so simplistically that like we're in that perpetual 5-year-old state for the reason of that is that energy within us is a generative energy. I think once they cut everybody off at that stage, now, maybe not everyone, but like we're gonna get to it in the next podcast. Like
mm-hmm.
Your great sculptors, your great painters, they probably used a lot of that sexual energy,
right.
put it into those things,
right?
Which I don't doubt,
right?
And I'm not
right.
doubting that mysticism, whatever, the Eastern mysticism. But
yeah.
I'm talking about the general guys. The my theory here is that us men are actually. Our energy and everything can be primed up 3 or 4 times a day, built up or
mm-hmm.
whatnot. And the women are the world builders, not the men. You know, I'm gonna say it, guys. The women are the world builders. Everything's back to front. Here we are with you, men building society and all that stuff. Now, I think the men have the energy that, like, this. Big burst of energy we want to give to women, which is the sexual energy, and
right.
the women have been steered away from being the world builders, and it's going to be through the romance, which we barely have grazed.
Yes, it's true.
This podcast was supposed to be about that, but
we had to
set it up.
This is one of 25 podcasts.
We had to set it up. The women are the world builders, and then we've got the generative
yeah.
energy that can
this,
be harvested and
this
used
is
properly.
Something that has got to be understood better, because it is understood extremely well by those who are running this place.
Mm.
Again, I think men are being harvested left, right, and center. They have no idea
right.
what they are generating through this constant...
Again, to quote Robert Fritz, if I may,
yep.
and Rosalind Fritz, everybody's innocent.
Yeah,
we're not trying to pin male or female. Everybody's innocent. Nobody
no.
knows what's going on.
We are in the cave of treasures, and we are pulling ourselves out, clawing bit by bit out
yeah.
or wherever, or back to each other,
yeah.
so that when we get to each other, the two of us together, or just blow it apart. Because I can't do without Michael, he can't do without me. I have my work to do, he has his work to do. But when I look at the mail now, I feel like the, those elephants on the strings. I do not see free human beings who can go out. I see such prisoners.
Mm.
And until you step back and look, you can't see it.
Right.
You can't see it, that the harvesting that is going on of the male energy is just disgusting.
Mm.
And you guys, you deserve...
And the abuse of the female energy. The abuse,
oh, absolutely. The female... To get rid of them, because
yeah.
I think we're the ones who would see it.
Yeah, that's what Lucifer wants to do.
Yeah, we're the ones who can see it. We're meant to see it.
Yeah.
Women, you are so slack. You need to just get your act together on both sides are
yeah.
really slack,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
There's
yeah.
a real... There is work to be done here. Women are not meant to be wimpy... pathetic, waiting for the hero to come,
yeah.
or sword brandishing cows
no.
either.
Yeah, and the men either. The men, like I said, at that cutoff age, too rough, too angry, too bitter. A
yeah.
lot of this is going to stem. A lot of this stuff will stem from this, I think.
Yeah.
For
ourselves, we can say there is nothing to lose here. You have nothing to lose doing this work.
Mm.
Well, sorry, you have lots to lose. You have lots of crap to lose.
Yeah, you can lose the structure. Oh, God forbid.
You can lose all the bullshit, all the toxins,
mm-hmm.
and you can start to come alive in a way that...
Mm.
Because everything's round the wrong way.
Yes.
Everything is round the wrong way.
Right. Right.
Okay, Michael, high five. Oh, better one. High five. That's
better.
And
we'll leave them with that.
Yeah, we'll see you on the next one.
Yeah, so that was part one.
Part one.
Great.
Okay.
Thanks, Alex.
See ya.
We'll see you again.